if Elizabeth keeps practicing, I said, she'll be on that organ for long. Doing a good job. And you never know what God's going to do with a little child's life. Encourage them. Encourage them in the Lord. I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, huh? Y'all laugh, you'll get old someday. Your tongue may not line up with what your brains are thinking, or vice versa. Song of Solomon. And church, we're going to back up. I want to be preaching this morning out of verse number 17 again of chapter 2. So if you'll stand together and find that verse of Scripture, we'll not read the entire chapter. We've read it a number of times. We'll read verse number 17. Let's read verse 16 and 17. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. He feedeth among the lilies until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. May the Lord add His blessing to that word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the singing, for the Sunday school hour. Thank You, Lord, for Your people that are so faithful to set in their place, put their tithes in the offering plate, sing the hymns of Zion, pray for the preacher, pray for the church, pray for the mission program. I thank You for them. Thank You, Lord, for Your divine presence here this morning. Thank You for the grace that You've already given. And Lord, remind me that I'm not here to show. I'm just here to preach the Word of God to the best of my ability. I pray that You'll help my voice this morning, help my throat. And God, that You'll give me the power in my soul to preach the Word of God. Lord, I'd never want to preach without the unctionizing, glorious oil of the Holy Ghost upon me. Grant it this morning that my words may be Thy words, and Thy words may be words of comfort and grace and help and blessing and joy and victory. I do pray You'll save sinners. And God, that You'll get glory and honor to Your precious name. May I magnify it in the presence of this congregation today. And I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. The last phrase here, the prayer of this little bride, she asked the Lord to turn and to be like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And if God would help me this morning, I want to try to preach for a little while on mountains of division. Those mountains that seem to stand between us and our Lord. Mountains of separation. Mountains in our life that causes shadows to appear. In the verse, here in verse 17, the bride appears to be abiding in the shadows. For she says, until the day break, and the shadows flee away. And she's living there, church, rather than living in the full light of the Lord's love. When we're in a shadow, there is not full darkness, but a slight darkness. And if there's a little darkness, that means that we are not living in the full light of God's wonderful love. And I'll tell you, that's where He wants us to be. In full light, walking in the light as He is in the light. And as we walk in that sunlight warms our heart, warms our way that we're traveling. And I tell you, it is a blessed thing to walk in fellowship with God in holy sunlight along the way in this pilgrimage that we're in. And that God is able to do that for us. Now, these shadows are cast from the mountains that apparently stand between the bride and her beloved. There is no doubt if she is praying for him, to be like a roe or a young hart up on the mountains, then apparently those mountains have cast a shadow, and that shadow is where she's living. I've got a feeling that's where many of you are living this morning. You're living in the shadow of the mountains. And those mountains have become mountains of division. They have separated between you and the full light of God's wonderful love. And for some reason or another, those mountains have chilled your heart. And you've become somewhat cold on God. Possibly even to the point of leaving your first love. And now rather than to be warm-hearted and zealous, you're cold-hearted and callous. And you're living in that shadow of that mountain of separation that is separated between you and your God. Now, if the church is standing in the shadow of the mountains, then she must, now listen now, she must, by simple calculation, be living in the valley. I have no earthly idea that Mrs. Hall would sing that song about living in the valley, being drawn aside to be tested and tried. In the valley, God restores our soul. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Living in that valley is not the worst place that a person can dwell. For it is there that God has called us aside, that we might be tested and we might be tried. And in that valley, God will restore our soul. Now, valley life is like chastisement. It does not seem good for the moment. But I tell you, it will work wonderful ways of righteousness in our hearts once the valley is conquered, the mountain is overcome, and we're again living in the full sunlight of God's wonderful love. Now somebody said, "Preacher, I'm not in a valley. You're a lying devil. You're a lying devil." I tell you, some of you have been living there a long time. Some of you that used to smile, now you've got to almost fake it. Amen. And some of you that used to shout, it's gone. Some of you that used to testify with tears or with zeal, it's long since departed from you. And I'm confident that you are living in that valley. Now, her being in this valley, she prays for her beloved to turn and to be as a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. She prays, "My beloved, turn unto me, turn unto me, turn unto me. Want to run it by you again? Turn unto me. And be as a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether." My friend, in Hebrew, the word Bether simply means a division. And what she is saying is, would you turn and conquer this mountain that has become a source of division between me and the Lord? And look here, she had her eyes more on the valley than she did on Christ. Friend, when you get in that valley, if you're not careful, you'll set your eyes more on the valley than you will on the Lord. But if you keep your eyes on the Lord, you're always looking up. For He was not on the other side of the mountain. Hallelujah to God. He was on the mountain. He is never in the valley. He's always on the mountain. And if He's on the mountain, He has the power to conquer the mountain, bring us out of the valley, and set us on the mountain where we might enjoy His wonderful love. Hallelujah to God. Did you get a hold of that? I hope so. See, you get in the mountain, in the valley, you get your eyes on the situation rather than on Christ. Is that not right? You'll get your mindset upon everything around you that troubles you rather than keeping your mindset on the goodness of God in the land of the living. Now I tell you, church, if we'll ever learn that He is walking on the water when it seems like we're sinking, and the waves are always under His feet, we will not dwell in such despondency and discouragement But my friend, if we'll keep our eyes and our affection set on Him, on Christ, setting our affection on things above, we can go through this life overcoming our troubles and our trials and our temptations and still maintain the joy of the Lord down in our heart. Amen and amen. I know that's right because I've been there, done that. And I got a T-shirt. Don't see it. I'll bring it tonight. And it says on the front, Jesus Christ the Alpha. It says on the back, Jesus Christ the Omega. And if He's the first and the last, bless our hearts, He is everything in between the first and the last. God, what have I to fear? I'm sheltered in the everlasting arms of God. Now, I want you to hear this well and let it soak in on you. And I'm not trying to rush. She could not escape the valley. She had no power on her own to escape the shadows. If she had, she'd have got herself right on out. Nobody enjoys living in a constant state of the valley grunts. Nobody likes to live always when it feels like that all the world is caving in on top of you. Nothing is going right. Everything is going wrong. And it seems like it's trouble after more trouble. And I'm telling you, my friend, if we dwell on that, it'll get to the point where we feel like the whole world is caving in on top of us. Amen to God. And you cannot get out of the valley on your own power. It's an impossibility. You're going to have to do like she did and cry out for her beloved to turn. Turn! She realized her only help of getting out of the shadows was for the beloved bride, amen, bridegroom to turn and for Him to conquer and bring her out of the valley. Are you listening? You ain't going to get out of it. You can't get out of it. And I'm going to tell you why you can't. You can call me what you want, but you're there by divine providence. God allowed you to be there. And if He put you there, you're there. Oh, yes. You ain't getting out of it on your own power. But notice, please, now. Notice the position of the Lord. He's not in the valley. Neither is He on the other side of the mountain. But she said, turn and be as a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And I believe that's plural. Mountains, it's more than one. She's not just living in the shadow of a little hill. She is living in the shadow of a large mountain and not just a singular mountain. She's living in the shadow of a chain of mountains that you cannot, my friend, get over to get to her beloved. And I'm here to tell you there's some things in some of your life that are like a chain of mountains that you cannot get over on your own power. You're going to have to find God. No wonder in chapter 3 she went out to find Him. You're going to have to find God in your life, folks. Personally find God. Individually find God. And I'm going to tell you, the church can't find God for you, and I can't find God for you. You're going to have to find God for yourself. Oh, that's right. I know that's right. Look here. He's not in the valley and He's not on the other side of the mountain. I'm thankful, praise God, He's on the mountain. Always. Always on the mountain. Now, are y'all with me now? Let me show you what the Lord can do. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke 5:3 and verse 5, it says, every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Uh-oh! You mean to tell me the Lord can fill your valleys? And the Lord can level your mountains? Yes, sir. And it goes on to say, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. I'm thankful, hallelujah, to a wonderful, glorious God who's able to take my valley, fill it full of the mountain, smooth her out on level ground, and make my crooked way straight and smooth for the glory of God. That's what he's saying. Now look here, he's on the mountain. And you're in the valley. And all he's got to do is take one little foot, squash the valley, and it's all level. I mean, squash the mountain. The mountain oozes out into the valley, and it makes level ground. You get a hold of that? That's right, son. Every valley will be filled. Every hill and high place will be brought low. The crooked ways will be made straight, and the rough will be made smooth. Somebody said, preacher, how can that be? It is a paradox, my friend, that we find in the Bible. I don't understand everything in the Bible, but I sure try to preach it all. Amen. Don't tell me how life can come out of death, but it does. Life springs out of death. Don't tell me that to explain how we're strong when we're really weak, but we are. That's a paradox, and I'm here to tell you, my friend, we look at everything in the eye of carnal man, and it appears to be mountainous, rough, and rocky, but in the eyes of God, she's all level and smooth sailing for a child of God. Amen. That's right. I better come out of this. Praise God. Amen. I can tell y'all in the valley, it used to be if I'd have preached that 2 years ago, y'all have been swinging me ceiling fans. Huh?
Amen.
And some of you can't even say amen. I'm going to pray God give you a lockjaw where you can't even eat. That's right. Hey, our beloved can take the mountains and fill the valleys, thus providing level and smooth and straight ground for us to travel upon. He will make our pathway straight. Amen to God. Please remember also that we ourselves so often, now everybody listen to this, we ourselves so often will make a mountain out of a molehill. If you're not careful, you'll let some little insignificant nothing, my friend, aggravate, agitate, upset, and torment you until you make a mountain out of nothing more than a little molehill in front of you. That's right. I remember when I first got saved, and some things in my life began to develop, and I thought, my God, I cannot. I mean, when the Holy Ghost said time for the cigarettes to go, I said, Lord, how in this world? But they're gone. When the Holy Ghost said throw the TV out, I said, Lord, I don't know, it's gone. When the Lord afflicted my children, I said, Lord, I don't know how I can take that. I don't know how I'm going to get over this mountain. But He leveled her out and made her smooth.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you right now. Are you listening to me? I have no earthly idea this morning why God has touched my body. But He has, and I'm going to tell you it belongs to Him. It has been redeemed. My soul, body, and spirit belong to the Lord. Let Him do with me as He pleases. Hallelujah to God. He bought me. I am His. My God, I'm not going to be rebellious and bow up and get mad and aggravated because God made me like I am. He made me like I am. He made me skinny. He made some of you heavy. He made me a man. These other men He made men. You ladies, He made ladies. He put you in your family and me in my family. I had not one thing to do with it. By the way, my friend, add one cubit to your stature this morning. You can't change one thing about you. You can't. You can color your hair. You can put on lipstick and rouge and makeup and try to change yourself, but you are what God's made you, buddy. Rejoice in it. You're His. Oh, yes, He wants you how you are. He's made you that way. Thank God that He's made you that way. Well, I wouldn't want to be Jerome. God, I couldn't carry around that belly. Did he give it to you, or did that truck driving job give it to you, Jerome? Them truck stops, but that's fried chicken. I was with Travis Clayton one day, and he walked up to this girl in this restaurant, getting ready to leave, and he said, "Ma'am," said, "do you know what that is?" She said, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "That's graveyard for 500 chicken." I thought, well, that sounds good. I walked up to a girl checking out up Cracker Barrel a few weeks ago, and I said, "Hun," I said, "do you know what that is?" She said, "Yeah, it's your gut." Didn't work too well for me, boys. Now, I want to mention to you this morning a few things that I really believe are mountains in some of your life. Mountains that have cast shadows upon you and called you to dwell in the valley of despondency and despair. Mountains that have separated between you and your God. Mountains that have brought sorrow and grief, lack of joy and happiness of heart, lack of zeal and praise and worship in the house of God. Oh, and there are some. I want to say, first of all, that I believe that some of you have a doubtful mind. I said, some of you have a doubtful mind. That's right. In Luke chapter number 12, the Lord mentions the ravens that are fed by the Lord. He mentions the lilies with more glory than Solomon. And He mentions the grass of the field that the Lord clothes. Now, I tell you, we spend our time worrying about food, shelter, and clothing when we need to be concerned about what God's doing in our life. In other words, we're wondering about tomorrow rather than being concerned about the welfare of our soul and our relationship that we maintain to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said to ravens, they don't spin. I mean, the lilies, they don't toil, they don't spin. But He said, He said, Solomon, all of His glory is not arrayed like one of them. And He said the ravens, they don't reap, and they don't have a storehouse or a barn. But He said, I take care of them and feed them. Oh yes, and He said, the grass of the field, said, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. He said, do I not clothe the field? And then He said, are you not worth more than all that? Are you hearing me? And look, listen to what He says in that verse of Scripture in verse number 29. He said, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Wonder why He put it right there. I'm going to tell you why. Are you listening to me this morning? Because they knew that a doubtful mind was a mountain in their life. And somebody said, what were they doubting? They were doubting the watch care of God over their life. Oh, I'm about ready to get gone. Son, how can we go wrong? How can we do without? How can we be neglected when the great God of glory is providing for us and has watch care not only over our soul, but over our very life and being that we're now living upon the face of the earth? God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Son, He created us and brought us out of our mother's womb and gave us life. And then He birthed us into the family of God and gave us spiritual life. How can God ever neglect one of His own children? I tell you, my friend, don't be of a doubtful mind. He won't. That's right. Doubtful mind. Don't be of a doubtful mind. Don't make that a mountain in your life. That's God's watch care. His provisions. God, doubting God's watch care. His provisions for us in this life. That's right. I'm going to tell you, some of you got the idea, well, man, I got to land a good job or I ain't going to make it. Amen. You better believe that's right. Son, I paid my way through Bible college, put 3 kids through a Christian day school, and paid tuition to do it. And put my wife part-time through Bible college part-time, and friend done her for 1 year on 30 hours a week, less than 30 hours a week most time, at minimum wage. Somebody said, how'd you do it? I've got a God. I've got a God that feeds the birds, clothes the grass, glorifies the lilies, And he said, are you not worth much more than what they are? My God, I'll tell you, some of you deaf, God wants carrying your life. Oh, God can't give me a home. God can't give me clothes. God can't give me this. God won't give me that. I'll tell you, God will give you everything that you need, but He won't give you everything you want. That's where the rubber meets the road, buddy. That's right. We doubt God's watch care. I'm going to say that we doubt God's wonderful love. Does He really love us? I'm going to tell you, He wrote in that book, friend, and said a man that wouldn't provide for his own family denied the faith and worth of an infidel.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, God wrote that. And we are God's family. We're His family.
Amen.
Do you think He's going to be made worse than an infidel? Oh, no, sir. Some of y'all doubt it. Some of y'all doubt His watch care. Some of y'all doubt His wonderful love. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
I'm glad that Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, sir.
Amen.
He loves even me just as I am, my friend. Way back yonder, just as I am, without one plea, I come to Him because His blood was shed for me. And I want to say on the authority of the Word of God this morning, He loved me when I was unlovely. Oh, yes, and He introduced His wonderful love to me. And while I was yet a sinner, that Christ died for me in an ungodly state. And if He died for me in an ungodly state, how shall He by the Lord Jesus not freely give us all things? Hallelujah to God. Why do you want to doubt His love? He lifted your soul out of the pit. He forgave you. Hey, He forgave you not a little bit, but all of your sin. Having nailed it to the cross. Removing the condemnation. Some of you let doubt whether He loves you, and you will live constantly with a mind that is full of guilt and condemnation. My God, you have been pardoned. You're guilty, but pardoned. You're free. Why don't you act like you're free? You know what pardon is? Pardon is letting the guilty go free. Basically, that's pardon. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm not a sinner. Yeah, you are. You're wicked and a devil.
Amen.
And you're guilty and you ought to be in hell.
Amen.
But pardon has set you free.
Yeah.
Now, what prompted that? Somebody said, oh, I'm good looking. Well, I please God in all that I do, and I'm so intelligent now. I've learned so much about the Word of God that He just must love me because I'm so spiritual. Bull. What do you want to doubt His love for?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. Like it, lump it, hump it, bump it. God loved you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Somebody said, how can that be? It was before the foundation of the world that He foreordained that His Son should come and die on the rugged cross for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He's taken death for every man. That's love. Doubtful mind. Doubt God's love. Doubt God's watch care. Doubt God's wonderful love. Some of you doubt God's Word.
Amen.
He said down there in verse number 22, He said, fear not, little flock, for it hath pleased, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Give it to you.
Amen.
Give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Why do we want to doubt that? Son, I'm going to tell you, hallelujah, we're going to rule and reign, buddy. Oh, yes, sir, I believe that with all my heart. There's coming a day when I'm going to tell this crowd around Madisonville what bore eat the cabbage, buddy. That's right, I may run for mayor. And there won't be any opposition.
Amen.
And I'll make all this whole outfit my board of aldermen. Yea, amen to God. And we'll rule and reign in this place. Somebody said, do you believe that? He said, fear not!
Amen.
For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Son, I'm going to tell you what, if he's got it to give, that means it belongs to Him. Woo! Hallelujah to God. The kingdom of God, it's God's kingdom, church. And He has made us a part of the glorious kingdom of God. We are children of royalty.
Amen.
Our God is a great King. Amen to God. Wears a royal robe. Sits on a golden throne. Hallelujah to God. Rules and reigns for you and I. I'm telling you, my friend, I'm not about to doubt that. Somebody said, well, the world is getting the best of us. Oh, baloney, son. You've just got a doubtful mind and there's a mountain between you and your God. I'm not a mountain in his way. Help his way. I'm not a doubt in God's kingdom. Nor his love. Nor his watch care over me. No! Doubtful mind. Mountain. That's brought a shadow over you. Can God really love me?
Amen.
Look what I've done. God can't love me. Come on now. You think that took God by surprise when you finally coughed some of that stuff up out of your heart? You hear me well? He's already overcome the mountain of unbelief and sin in your life. And by the way, he come leaping and skipping across the mountains and the hills, friends, of unbelief and sin. And if he's already leveled the mountain of sin and unbelief in your life and made you a child of God, what makes you think he can't level that mountain of a doubtful mind? Praise God. I'm a trying, but some of you look like you lost something or other. I want to say secondly, there's not only mountains of a doubtful mind, but I really believe this. It ain't going to get too easy from here on out. I'm afraid some of you has got a mountain of deficient faith. Your faith is just a little deficient. You're anemic. Come on now. Stay with me. 1 Timothy 1:19, the Lord said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Look, everybody look right up here. He said, some have put away a good conscience concerning faith. You know what that means? That means that they have put away their conscience of faith, son. It's like that unbeliever whose mind, whose conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Some folks have put away God's faith, put away their faith. Now, put away the conscience, that means to push away or reject. Are you listening to me? Perception or understanding. Now, I'm going to tell you why some of you are in that shadow, living in that valley and the shadow of the great mountain of separation and division, my friend, is because you have rejected. You, yes, you have, bless your heart. Some of you have rejected. You have rejected light. Amen to God. Your conscience. You have put away your conscience concerning faith. That is to say, there's been some things that have been preached and proclaimed that you do not believe, my friend. And it's brought a shadow over you and a mountain between you and your God that the only way you will ever get out of it is to pray that He'll turn and level the mountains and fill the valleys. Now, I'm going to tell you what it is. You can like it, you can lump it, you can hump it, or you can bump it. But I'm going to tell you wherein it lies. Some of you in here think that I am a fool about old-time religion and about shouting and praising God, and it ought not to be done in the church house. We ought to come with a roll. Yeah, I'm telling you, I've done been in a holy place, and a thrice holy God has done told on your unbelieving soul. And son, you have grieved the Spirit of God. You have quenched the Holy Ghost. You have brought a shadow over this church. My friend, unless God shows mercy and turn, that will linger and lay there for a long time in the house of God. I know what I'm talking about. And some of you are so ignorant that you've learned to listen to that mess. We ought to go to the Bible and find out how many times the Bible... Turn on your radio, Brother Reed. Find out how many times the Bible talks about praising God. And look up what praise means. Look up what... Oh, we ain't going to do it. I know it. And I'm going to tell you what you've done, friend. You brought a cloud over you. your unbelief. You have put away your conscience concerning faith. In other words, you went as far with God as what you're going to go with God. I will not go an ounce further. And it's brought a mountain, buddy, that's separated. Oh, yes, sir. That's separated between you and God. Look here. Do you know what happened? Hey, do you know? He said, making your faith shipwreck. Do you know when people, you know when a ship will wreck? Basically, two places a ship will wreck. Number one, when they get off course. Now, I'm telling you, some of you failed to believe some of the things I preached, and you're off course. You're standing with a doubtful mind. You're off course. You're not running through the course anymore. And I'm going to tell you, you get a ship like Paul was in Acts 27, friend, and get it off course. It sail and sail and sail under the darkness of that cloud, not moon or stars or sun is shining. And I'm going to tell you, that's what's wrong. You get in a valley, friend, under a shadow, you'll not see the moon, you'll not see the sun, you'll not see the stars. And if you don't, you'll have no navigation. I'm telling you, what I'm saying, the light of the Holy Ghost is not directing your heart. And you're off course. And you're going to make your face shipwreck. And I'm going to tell you, when the ship wrecks, the whole crew, passengers and all, when they're off course out there, you're going to lose it all. Son, she's got quiet, and I'm glad it has. I've got your nail right on the head. And I'm going to tell you another place you'll shipwreck. When you're sailing too close to the shoreline, there's rocks there, there's dangers there.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir, buddy. Some of you are sailing too close to the world. Amen. You're still trying to yoke up and hook up with that worldly crowd out there that's wicked as a devil, my friend. Some of you young people in here, you ain't got out ever yet, buddy. If you're sailing at all with God, you're sailing close to the shoreline. Now, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do when you're wrecked. She's going down. Your faith will go shipwreck. My God, I'm telling you, my heart goes out today to this young generation of people that we got who will not listen to godly instruction and will not listen to the Bible and will not listen to the preacher. And they're sat on the world, tied up in the world, love the world, want the world. I'm telling you, the Bible said, love not the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father, not any. You can't have both. You ain't going to have them both. Hallelujah to God. Some of you are sailing too close to the shoreline. Rubbing shoulders with the world here and trying to rub shoulders with God over here. It will not work. Some of you is madder than bulls right now. Because I flipped a rock and the rock is hit and the dogs are squealed. That's right. I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't a backing up for you or nobody else, friend. I'm preaching what the Holy Ghost has told me to preach in this church. You better believe it. And it ain't ever going to get right until it's probed and preached and got right and repented of and turned from. Amen. Deficient faith, a doubtful mind. I want to say number three, a deteriorating love is a mountain of ether, a mountain of separation. That's right. You know what the Lord Himself said in Revelation 2:4? He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now look here, they didn't leave it suddenly. Nobody leaves God's love suddenly. It is a slow-moving thing. Just real slowly, moving away from it. You know why they're moving away from it? Because they've got a deficient faith. And they've strayed off course, and they're sailing away from God's love.
Amen.
Look here. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity. Abideth. Now, friend, you might get by without possessing some of the other attributes of God, but I'm telling you, those three are necessities. Faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. You cannot get by in God's service, in Christian life, without a real heart of love. And it ain't going to leave suddenly. It is going to leave slowly. I want everybody to listen to me right carefully. And I'm not, look here, I'm telling you, I'm preaching this. I didn't get this out of a book, buddy. God gave me this. And I'm going to tell you, hey, there is a real consequence, my friend. When our love starts deteriorating and it starts waxing cold, and we come to the house of God and sit on our stool and do nothing and can't stir up an amen, and we depend on Brother Jerry for all the emotion in the house of God, and nobody can say amen, nobody wants to sing, nobody wants to worship God. Are you listening to me? Somebody said, "Preacher, what is that warning? What is that consequence?" I'm going to tell you what Jesus said in Revelation 2. He said, "Except you repent, I'll come upon you and remove your candlestick out of its place." God said, "I will not live in a church where there's not a heart of love that's filled there."
Amen.
He said, "I'll remove your candlestick."
Amen.
Now, I'm satisfied He's removed a lot of them, buddy. Oh, they still meet. They still go through the motions. They still act like God's all over the place. But you couldn't find God with a radar gun, son. Ichabod. Ichabod, Ichabod, Ichabod is written over the door.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? And it's all because folks got in a valley and didn't want to listen to the man of God on how to get out of it.
Amen.
Her final approach was to the watchman of the city, and but a little while after she passed him, she found him whom her soul loved.
Amen.
And I preached her and preached her. And I'm going to tell you what. Some of you in here right now is matter in a wet heart, and I'm going to tell you why you are. It's not because I've touched you, it's because I've touched your little God. I've touched the little love of your heart. And you're puffed. Son, you can just take a pen and let the air out. Amen to God. That's right. I want to say number four, a mountain. A dilapidated prayer life. Are you listening to me? Son, you lose your prayer life, it'll be the hardest thing to get back you've ever tried to do in your life.
Amen.
It's almost nigh an impossibility. In Luke 15, that parable of the importunate friend, when a man at midnight had friends to come to his house and he went to his friend to try to get three loaves of bread, do you know what time of the night it was? It was midnight. Son, that's an inconvenient time. And I'm going to tell you, that's an inconvenient hour to make a request. That's an inconvenient hour to pray. And if you ever pray, it'll be an inconvenience to you. That's right. It will inconvenience you. Some of us may have to drive a ways to come to church to get in church prayer meetings. Some of us may have to get up a little earlier in the morning. Some of us may have to stay up a little later at night. But I'm telling you, real praying, my friend, will come in a solitary place at an inconvenient time. God is not going to grant us the blessings of life on a bed of ease, son. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Real prayer life will have an inconvenience to it. It will not come easy. Then the importunity there in verse 8, he just kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. Urgent. He had an urgent request. He had an urgent request. And then in verse 9, there's a promise of the reward. The Lord said, "Seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be opened unto you. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." What a promise of reward.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, that dilapidated prayer life, son, can become a cloud hanging over our heads, a shadow, a mountain of separation that's separated between us and our God. Now,
amen.
I want to mention, before I've got 8 points. I'm trying to run through them fast. And the reason I'm going to go on through them fast is because some of you done got so mad. You are upset, buddy. You are upset. Now, I'm going to mention 4 other things. I want to say another mountain that some of you's got is a dejected heart.
Amen.
You're like Hagar when Abraham put her out, buddy. She felt dejected. Felt like nobody loved her. Felt like her life was a waste. Nobody cared. She's not worth anything. I'm not worth nothing, preacher. I'm not worth nothing to the church. I can't do nothing in the church. That's a shadow hanging over your head. Yes, you can. There's not a person in this building this morning that cannot do something in the house of God. I'm going to tell you, little Hagar sat down out there, and the Holy Ghost said, "Hey, here's a fountain of water out here. Could you just go on back and be subject unto Abraham and unto Sarah?" But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You get dejected or rejected. You feel like nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. Nobody wants you. Everybody's tired of you. And I'm going to be honest with you. A preacher and a pastor is easy to get that way. Both, especially when you try to help people and preach right to them and they bow up about it and don't want it.
Amen.
You feel like that. That's exactly right, buddy. That's what happened to Elijah.
Amen.
I stood alone and nobody stood with me. And now I'm running from Jezebel. Hallelujah to God. A dejected heart. I want to say six, disagreements in the home. If your home life ain't right, buddy, and there's a little disagreement and a little spat there, that shadow, that'll become a mountain. It'll cast a shadow over your life. Amen to God. You have to get them disagreements right. Amen to God. Somebody said, do you ever have one? Amen! I'm wearing two shoes, aren't I? I've got on a shirt and a pair of breeches. Every family's going to have disagreements. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, they can be worked out. If you'll pray and ask the Lord to turn and be like a roe or a hart upon the mountains of Ether, He'll level those mountains for you. And He'll put harmony in your home.
Amen.
He'll do it. I want to say number seven, disappointments of life. Disappointments of life, a big mountain. You know what? Things just don't turn out the way I want them to. I've got news for you. They don't always turn out the way I want them to.
Amen.
Very seldom, Brother Andy, do they ever. I'm telling you, this life's full of disappointments, folks.
Amen.
And if you're not careful, them little disappointments will absolutely drive you up the young ones through. I had them people to dump three little loads of dirt over at my place, and it's raining, and they've been soaking wet, and I've been gone in and out. And every day I drive in over there, I look at them three piles of dirt, and I'm telling you, it's just almost them three little piles of dirt is an Alps out in my front yard. And I look at the drive as you come in along that left-hand side, that big tree, and all, and I'm telling you, and it's grown into a mountain. I've been wanting for a year and a half to clean that up and get grass sowed in there, and you just can't get it. I said, phooey on that thing. If God gives me time, I'll get them trees out of there. And if God don't give me time, they can rot right where they're laying.
Amen.
That's right. You make a mountain out of that molehill.
Amen.
That's right. And then I want to say the final thing that can become a mountain is discord in the house of God.
Amen.
That is an abomination to God. And it can become such a mountain that a church will spend the rest of its days living in a shadow. Folks, that's why God said there ought to be unity and harmony in the house of God.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Mountain of division. But if we'll pray, she prayed. She had to pray. When she said turn, she's a prayer. Be like a roar, a young heart upon a mountain to beat her. Make this mountain level and fill this valley. Make my way smooth and straight. For the glory of God. Let's stand together, please. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful this morning for my privilege that I've had to preach the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you for your people. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, that you'll help the church, Lord, to walk again in the sunlight of God's love, to walk again in the full sunlight of God's love. Flatten, Lord, these mountains of Bether and fill the valley that we dwell in. Make our crooked ways straight and our rough ways smooth. For the honor and the glory of God, may the sun shine again upon your people. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What are we going to say, Brother George? Page number 3. If God's spoken to your heart, I want you to come on this morning. A number of folks are praying. I want you to come on this morning and do business with God. Let's sing right out on page number 3. Jesus, bear the cross alone. the world grow free. For everyone, there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear shall set me my soul.